with a purpose. As you're called with a purpose, know that none of you are here by accident. None of you were an accident. You are all purposed. Understand? When he made you, he created you with purpose to bring about a desired end for his kingdom. Now, along the way, we have times that we mess up. We mess up quite often, to be very honest with you. But in the messing up, it's not a bad thing. I'm not saying go mess up and just see how bad it can get. Because we can really put ourselves in a position that's really bad. But when we mess up, you begin to see that the loving grace and the loving Father will manifest for your good. For your good. It's like when you see a person that is down, we as people sometimes have a tendency to receive the blows when we're down. In other words, other people try to kick you while you're down. God doesn't do that. When you're down, God is there with you, and he wants to help you get you back into position. But we have a tendency to follow some certain characteristics that lead us to an idle Christian. How many of you know how to drive a stick shift? Raise your hand. Good. So you understand that if you have the car in neutral but you don't have the safety brake on, what will it do? It'll roll either forward or backwards. Well, when you are in Jesus and you're engaged in Jesus, you're like in first gear, you have to continually move forward. But the first gear is the one that you use when you're climbing, right? When you engage in first gear, you can go up a steep hill because in first gear, it gives you more power to the engine so that just where you can engage and go forward. Now, every time you go to the next gear, guess what you pass up? Neutral. So going from first to second, you have a tendency whether either to engage in second or to get caught up in neutral. You got to be careful about getting caught up in neutral. Now, I had went camping when I was a little boy with our family, just to give you a better background and understanding. Our family, when we would go camping, we have a lot of family. So it would be like a parade just going into the park. You would see all these cars. And the crazy thing, you would have trucks, and the trucks had the sleeping bags and had all the groceries and everything. And sometimes we have a tendency to put a barbecue pit inside a van. Just because we just had, you know, just an impulse to go camping. So we just put a barbecue pit in the van, lit. Am I lying? Mama, am I lying?
Am I telling the truth, Mama?
Lit. Because you don't want to waste the charcoal you just started. So we roll down the windows, and you have all the embers. Well, I'm telling you, it's a true story. Now, listen. They don't believe me. Believe me. My uncle's in here right now. He knows what I'm talking about. Now, this place called Paradise. You remember that? When you were driving to Paradise, there used to be a monkey on a tree that was right there. Remember that, Mom? Monkey on a tree, really, when you're coming into Paradise, is it Paradise Cove or what? Paradise River. So you're driving, there used to be a monkey on the tree, and you would say, "Welcome to Paradise River." And we drive. And so I knew we were there when I would see the monkey. But during the one time that we went, my dad had this Mustang. Remember this Mustang? What year was it? A 65 maroon Mustang. Bad to the bone. Bad. You know when you say bad, bad. You know, you put that emphasis in the head. But being a mischievous kid that I am, still, I liked that car so much, I called it the race car. Did I not call it the race car? Well, I had a tendency to kind of wander off from the family as they're cooking menudo. Some of y'all know about the story that later on that night, they were tired. And the men stayed up to cook the menudo, and they, anyway, let's just say that the menudo came with rocks in it in the morning. Okay. Well, that was during this time. So, being mischievous, I went into the car. And I thought that I could drive, you know, and you pretend drive. You know how we do. We pretend. Well, I realized there's three pedals. So I didn't put on the gas. I didn't press on the brake. I pressed on the clutch. Well, I saw my daddy do this with this thing over here. So I had the clutch engaged, and I did this number. And next thing I know, thank God there was a car behind me. You remember that, Mama? You remember that? Oh, because Mama turned gray real quick. Real quick. Because the next thing you know is the car starts moving and going backwards. And I'm inside. And all of a sudden you can hear, Mija! And I never seen my dad move so fast. Till this day. Jumping over tables, jumping over things, running over there, and gets in there and throws it in gear. But thank God there was something behind me that stopped me from going into something that would cause me to have injured myself worse than that. See, as kids, you think, why did that happen? Years later, standing in front of you today is why it happened. Because if you don't engage in the gear to move forward, you can cause accidents and trouble for yourself if you stay idle in neutral. You understand that? Engage. Because we have the propensity to engage, but you have every opportunity in that to stay in neutral, even though you're progressing to second gear. Do you understand? Here is what I want you to see. Did you make notes? Because I saw some of y'all writing. Did y'all make notes? Okay. Who in here does not have a Bible? Raise your hand. Do you have electronic devices that you can look it up? Yes? Okay. If not, we have Bibles in the back. David can get them for you. Just let us know. Raise your hand. You can keep them. They're free for you. Okay, so we're good? Okay, what I want you to do is make notes at Matthew 26, 17 through 58 is where we're going to take the basis of this message. I'm going to finish it up today, I promise you. I'm going to finish it up today. Luke 22, 31 through 34 is some scriptures that are going to give you references to some of the things that I'm going to state to you that shows you your step on how you become an idle Christian or how you make sure you don't become one. Understand? Luke 22, 54 through 62 is where I will wrap it up and show you what we're going to do. Backsliding is not moving forward in Christ. If you're progressing forward, you're idle and become a detriment to others. Get out of the fast lane and move over to the far side of the road to let others pass you by so you yourself don't cause others to fall. The Bible gives us very, very strong warnings that if we are anyone that causes any of the Christians to stumble, woe unto them. Woe to anyone that causes these precious children to stumble and fall away. What is he talking about? Following after Jesus. So many people have coined this phrase as the backsliding Christian. But I don't like to use that term backsliding because that tends to tell me that you have the only opportunity you're going to do is just backslide. You're not going to get out of it. But when you're idle, you have the opportunity to engage and move forward. Get in gear. Can we get in gear? Can we get in gear, please? Amen. Let's go to the next one, Dave. I want you, if you would, go to Matthew 26, 33. The first one that we talked about 2 weeks ago was pride. Now, to preface the story so you can understand, this is when Jesus and his disciples are going into to have the Passover meal. We all know that one is because it's the picture where everybody's kind of leaning out like this, and only a couple of them are leaning in, you know, the Last Supper picture. You know, the only way you're ever going to get in that picture is if you sit on the other side of the table facing out like nobody was sitting in front of him. How many of y'all sit at your table but everybody sit on one side? Hello? Oh, so we use both sides of the tables? Okay, just making sure that someone was seeing the way I saw that picture, like, that's strange. Everybody's facing out so they can be seen. But in that same thing, he says that the least is the one that sits at the end of the table, does not look for the headship of the table, but sits at the very end because the last shall be first. and the least should be the greatest. How many times do we all want to get in a picture? You know, the selfies that we do? You know those selfies that we... You have more pictures of yourself than you do of other people. There's a problem with that. Nothing changes. Y'all are either in the restroom taking a picture, or in the car. That's the one that gets me, the one in the car. Can you imagine other people looking at you? All these selfies. What's up with that? We got more pictures of ourselves than we do of anybody else. Do y'all have that? Y'all take selfies, right? And you think that it stops with the young generation. It doesn't. All the generations.
Click, click.
Click, click. It's something if you put it as a screensaver. Just so you can see yourself. Well, now Jesus is sitting there reclining with his disciples and he begins to predict his death, his imprisonment, and his betrayal. Peter is there. You know Peter, right? Y'all all know Simon Peter. We started this when Jesus was at the boat and called Simon and his brothers. He called Simon, Simon, follow me, I'll make you fisher of men. So he's following them. And I use Peter as a great example because Peter has a tendency to be just like us. Or should I say we have a tendency to be just like Peter? Do you understand? We all get excited when Jesus calls. So we run, we start carrying Bibles, we start going to church, we start going to church, we start praying, we start watching Christian programs, we start listening to Christian music, we quit cussing. Some of y'all still need to have some coffee. But things begin to change when he calls. But when something comes your way that challenges you, we have a tendency to revert back. You went from first gear to neutral because something hit you and made you go into neutral. Like, wait a minute. I thought everything in Christ was to give me strength, power to overcome, and that nothing would come my way. Jesus made it clear when the trouble comes your way, when trouble comes. He didn't say if. When trouble comes. When. Has trouble come your way? How many times? Lots, right? It don't come just one time. It comes a lot. Matter of fact, it comes so much that you choose to run to certain things that you shouldn't have been running to. Mm-hmm. We start running to some things that cause even more problems, causes relationships to be dysfunctional, causes you to become so codependent on other people because they have something that you want and you want to go get what they have, but you ain't got the means to get what they've got, so you go and do what you got to do to get what you want to get. Did I confuse you? Well, Confucius say this, look, you go towards something that is going to fulfill your void. Here's the void. We need Jesus. Jesus is the void because we don't have him. Because what happens when you are engaged with him. Peter got engaged and began to follow after Jesus, and he followed closely. Understand? Mom, can you put your Bible down to the side so I can give you an illustration? Now, this is Mama. This is Mama Lou. Everybody say, hi, Mama Lou.
Hi, Mama Lou.
Mama Lou. Say, Mama Lou.
Hello.
Did you have a hard time raising your son? Because as a mama and as a child, I'm supposed to follow Mama. Now, that didn't mean, watch this. Mama is walking down the store. You know, back in the day, we used to have what we called the big store. Remember big store? Remember big store? Big store. That's what it was called, big store. Not big lots, big store. And Mama used to do wigs there, and she used to do all painting the wigs and everything. Remember that, Mama? Remember one time I was a little kid? I want to do one. It came out looking like Medusa, but she let me do it. Now, listen. So as she's doing her work there, displaying her wigs, as she's doing, you know, she's a beautician, and I'm supposed to follow her. I'm supposed to be real close to her. So here goes Mama walking that way, and here goes me. Turn around, look for me, Mama. Am I there? I wasn't there. Guess what Mama did? Mijo! 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 Marty! Gordo! That meant skinny. She goes and gets me. Now, do you think she put me in timeout?
No.
Do you think that she, well, I'll just put it to you this way. It wasn't nice. She didn't wait for me to get home to discipline me. She did it right there in the store. I used to have real big ears, but I had them cut because... Jesus is the parent that is leading his child, Simon, and his brothers. But when he would turn around, guess what? They were there. They followed. So they knew how to follow. So growing up, I learned to follow Mom and Dad. How many of you children now, how do you look for Mom and Dad in the store when you get separated? Children. Okay, color of the shirt. What else?
Loud.
Oh, wow. Bus driver. You can hear Dad because he's loud. How else, children? How else? You go walking, looking. What else? Okay. Say it again. You call them on the cell phone. Mom, if I had a cell phone growing up, would I have been in trouble if I got lost in the store?
Yes.
Why? Because my job wasn't just because I had a cell phone, it would give me the right to go and get lost. Are you hearing me? Yeah. Just because something is given to you that gives you false security does not mean that you can wander away from something that is giving you real security. Do you understand? When I stay close to Jesus, I have real security. Why? Because I'm under the blood. But when I use things that give me false security, it's not being secure. I'm trying to make myself feel secure. Follow me? That was good, right? BlackBerry iPhones and all those. They came in real handy. So when I find you, I'm going to whoop you. Who told you to leave? Well, I'm over here by the games. Good, I'll be right there. Some of y'all looking at me, yo, you beat your children? I beat them senseless. No, I'm playing. I'm like, God, y'all looking at me like that. My kids are going to come in, big old black guy from playing football. Y'all like, Pastor! football. So here we are. Now that he's proclaiming his death, he says unto them all, one that sits amongst us now will betray me. So you hear Peter say, I will never betray you. And unto death I'll go with you. The first one was pride and self-assurance. You find that in verses 33 and 35 of Matthew 26. Okay? So pride comes before the fall. And if you think you've got so much assurance in your own relationship, what happens? You begin to go into that neutral because you're no longer engaging. You're relying on self. Second one is lack of prayer. Matthew 26, 36 through 45. Who has it in their Bible? Matthew 26. What verse? Who has it? Nobody want to raise their hand because they're going to make them read? Huh? You got it, Will? Will, I am, I is, and will be. Matthew 26, 36 through 45. Please read.
Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons, of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour?"
Stop right there. Do you see what he says right there? First he tells them, "I'm going to go and pray. Stay here and watch." Well, for them, they understood what watch meant. That means to be on guard in prayer. In prayer. One of the things that you find, which is beginning to show where we as a church have a tendency to be, is we get tired of things that we're going through, that we turn to other things to give us our security, but we're not praying, which gives us results. And we're found sleeping. The church has been asleep for a very long time. And God, in his presence right now, is calling the church to wake up. Wake up. I want you, if you would, to please make note of Ephesians 5:14, Isaiah 52:1, and Isaiah 60, verse 1, and Romans 13:11. All these scriptures go back to arise, wake up, O sleeper. Wake up, Jerusalem. Wake up, Zion. He's speaking to the church to wake up. Come out of your slumber. Because prayer is necessary, not just for the things that you want, but it's also necessary for the things that you do not want. Do you know what I mean? Right? How many, we're the children. Do y'all pray so that y'all fail your test? What do you pray for? To pass the test, right? How many of you adults in here pray that you don't have no more money? Raise your hand. Oh, y'all don't pray that one? What do you pray for? More money, right? Okay, here's the thing. That you're praying for things that you're in need of. But the other thing is to pray that you don't know what you're going to need later. Peter should have known. He already told him, "There's a betrayer. I am going now to be taken up and taken away from you." They still didn't get it. They still, especially Peter. Peter thought that he knew everything. Like most of the Christians you come in contact with at times, think they have all the answers for your dilemmas. Haven't you run across Christians like that before in your life? Raise your hand. Be truthful. Be truthful. You've come across Christians that say, "Oh, you know why you're going through what you're going through? Is because you either left church, or you had sin in your life, or you have unforgiveness in your life, or maybe it's your attitude, or maybe it's just because of the way you dress." You know, they kind of throw everything at you, the whole book at you. They don't even read the book to you no more. They just throw it at you just because they want to just judge you for what you're going through. Amen. Told you, God don't kick you when you're down. Men do that. God sits there with you and he waits with you till you have that understanding of his mercy, his love, and his grace for you to say, "Will you arise and get up?" Amen. Let's wake up to reality, people. Let's have some coffee. You know what I'm talking about? The real coffee where when you drink it, hey. Woo! Woo! You know, and it just, oh, too much caffeine. All of a sudden, you just start talking real fast because you don't know what to do and everything. Your hands start moving real fast. You start doing everything real fast. By the time you know it, you've cleaned the dishes, you cleaned the garage, you cleaned everything because you had so much caffeine. Amen. Yeah, amen. And then you crash. Well, let me get three more shots of this and I'll be all right. And you crash again. And you crash again. And you've developed a pattern to go towards the thing that you thought that brought you the security and gave you the energy to do what you got to do. But in reality is you still crash. You understand? Prayer is there not only for the things that you need, it is there for protection, and it is there to bring you even closer to God. Here is Jesus, God in the flesh. Flesh. God in the flesh. Flesh. Flesh has a tendency to get in the way. But the flesh that we look at is perfect, which is Jesus. He tells the ones that were supposed to be following, stay here It says, I'm only a stone throw away. That means I'm just right over here. You can see me. You can see the agony and the pain that I'm going through. Just pray and watch. Jesus comes back and finds them sleeping. 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 How many of you, when you're on the job, they let you sleep on the job? Oh, they don't let you do that? You don't get paid to sleep on the job? Y'all don't get benefits for sleeping on the job? Oh, my God. What society do we work for, work in? We should get paid for sleeping because all of us are real good at it. Because when it comes to doing the work that we're supposed to do, sometimes we just don't enjoy it. We don't enjoy it. And we go through this menial thing called work, but yet we find us sleeping in spirit. And God wants to wake our spirit. So what happens? Awake. Arise. Simon fell because of lack of prayer. A lack of prayer. And Jesus commanded him to stay. Watch. He went to go pray again. Jesus in the flesh goes to God himself to pray. If Jesus, God himself, goes to pray, we got to pray. Do y'all believe that prayer is important?
Yes.
Do you believe that it's time for us to instill more prayer in our life?
Yes.
Do you believe that prayer is going to help change things around you in your life?
Yes.
Do you believe that enough prayer in your life will begin to change the way you see yourself?
Yes.
To help you change your circumstances because you're the common denominator in your circumstances.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Prayer is there to be a reflection of God into you, you into God, becoming one. One. Jesus says, I go and be with the Father, and the Father is in me. And if you are in me, you're in the Father, and the Father is in you. Prayer is very important. Now, prayer don't mean that you got to do the Hail Marys repetitively or the Our Fathers all the time. Prayer is communing with God. Now, when I go and commune with my wife, I don't talk to her about the same thing we just talked about 10 minutes ago. That would be insane. Maybe. You remember what I talked to you about 10 minutes ago about how after church today we were going to go eat and you were going to take me to Olive Garden because I wanted to have some pasta? Remember that? Oh, and then and 10 minutes later, baby, remember that after church today, we're going to go to Olive Garden and eat so I can have pasta? About another 10 more minutes, I'm going to tell you again that we're going to go to Olive Garden so we can have pasta after church, right? So we're going to go to Olive Garden after church to have pasta, right? Do you understand what I'm talking about? Is what's happening is God is saying, what? Would you just talk with me? Just talk. Don't bring all these kind of Christian lingo and words that you have. Look, God, look, you wrestle with Jacob, I'm wrestling with you. I'm going through some stuff right now. I've got my brother that wants to kill me. I have to go find a wife for myself that's not even in my own neighborhood. I got to go out here and look for a wife. I can't even go to the watering hole over here and find. I got to go find a different watering hole over here. I'm tired of going through this and that. I need to get blessed. I need to get blessed. Did you hear the we's, the thou's, and thou art's? And no, he made it very real and very plain. He was tired. Now, you may be tired of a circumstance. You may be tired. Well, don't even look next to you. Don't. Just look to the cross. You may be tired of some things that are going on in your home. You may be tired of the way someone treats you. Prayer changes things. It does. But at first, it's what it's going to do is reflect him to you and how you handle a circumstance so that things can change. Prayer. Sleeping. Three things right now show you that. Sleeping will cause you to lose focus in the purpose. Have you ever had a phone call that came about 3 o'clock in the morning? Ring, and your heart says, you know something's wrong. And did I wake you? No, I was up. Your phone's like this way. I was praying. What's going on? Are you all right? What happened? Ambulance, jail, what is it? I had a dream. I'll talk to you tomorrow. You know, nothing good happens after 2 o'clock. Y'all know that, right? Well, hello, did y'all hear me? After 2 o'clock in the morning, nothing good happens. Nothing.